the Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, Throwback Thursday 2003. This is Good Charlotte. We're mentioning this date. Sammy Sosa's Corked Bat occurred in 2003, so some nice music for you. Let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com. Brendan Marks of The Athletic joins us talking the retirement of Mike Krzyzewski. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Just a normal Wednesday, right?
Yeah, right? Exactly. I was talking about this. This is one of those bits of news where it's surprising, but it's not really, given his age and the longevity that he's had at the job. It just pops out of nowhere, and you go, "Oh!" But how surprising was it that it came on a Wednesday?
Yeah, I honestly wasn't as surprised, I think, as some people. The rumors about this have really been percolating the past couple of weeks pretty loudly, pretty significantly. The thing that I am surprised about is that he's announcing this ahead of time. I sort of assumed that, as he has said he would do for a while, he would go about his business, finish the season, and then sort of decide, okay, that's it, I'm going to hang it up. But you look at some of the circumstances at Duke, new athletic director, they are in the midst of recruiting for the next year's class, and it's getting harder for him to be honest with recruits about, am I going to be there, am I not? So you put all that together, and it does sort of make sense. But no, it's obviously shocking anytime you hear like this, and just to realize that this is the last season we're going to get to see Coach K coach basketball.
Everybody's sort of been wondering how much the changing landscape of college basketball affects him and his decision. We talked about it with Roy Williams when Roy Williams announced his retirement. Was there any feeling amongst the people around Coach K, you guys who cover him, that he was getting frustrated with the changing landscape and that this had anything to do with this decision?
Yeah, it's a great question because I've seen on social media the last 24 hours or so, some people suggesting that Coach K is against the idea of name, image, and likeness or compensating players, or he's against the transfer portal. I don't think that's the case whatsoever. He has advocated for name, image, and likeness and players being compensated multiple times before. I've heard it straight out of his mouth. The thing I think that is more important as far as the changes that are coming to college athletics in general, not just college basketball, and how they're impacting this decision is, the man is 74 years old, and he turns 75 in February. And he has already reworked himself, ample times in his career to last from 1980 all the way to present day. You think about the changes he's made to his philosophy, his recruiting, himself personally. He went from winning with, these four-year star players in development like Christian Laettner, Grant Hill, and then he sort of flipped the switch, and he's adapted to social media and the one-and-done era, and he's built a brand that way, too. One-and-done stars, Zion Williamson, Jason Tatum. So I don't think it's a matter of Coach K being against the things coming down the pipe in college athletics. I just think that at 74, turning 75 years old, he doesn't have the energy or the effort or the want to remake himself and go through another significant change process, and that's totally fine. You can completely understand that.
As somebody who's right there on the scene, right in the nucleus of the Duke program, one of the things that is fascinating is when a coach gets to a point where he becomes the face of the entire university. Ron and I were talking about that Duke could have an alumni that becomes president of the United States or a poet laureate or a Nobel Prize winner, but the image of Duke remains Mike Krzyzewski. How much of that is true? How much of that does he prevail over everything around that university, not only college basketball?
It's significant. I mean, he is definitely, one of the figureheads there. And I would say, it's not a coincidence that he is announcing this at the same time as Duke's other figurehead, Kevin White, the athletic director, the guy who has led the Division I basketball committee. He has sort of propelled Coach K's second half of his career with the improvements he's made to Duke's facilities. It is not a coincidence that he is retiring in August and that this decision is coming around the same time. So, certainly, there's going to be a massive, massive void, I think, whenever this eventually does happen in a year from now. People are going to be like, who do we signify with Duke? I think it's not a situation where Coach K is going to walk away and never come back into Cameron Indoor and never be around the program. He certainly is. He still lives here. He's going to continue to be involved for the rest of his life. But that, I think, is what the program is trying to help ease with their promotion of John Shire to head coach. I think they're hoping to provide some stability, provide a passing of the torch, and help sort of provide a little bit more of a runway for John as he gets started in the next chapter of his career and hopefully tries to keep this Duke basketball program, not just afloat, but at the level it's at.
We know John Shire as a player. What do we know about him as a coach? How good of how much of a Krzyzewski light is he in terms of the way he'll guide this program?
Yeah, he is a good coach, and you know, sort of similarly to Hubert Davis at North Carolina, the biggest knock that you have against these guys is they've just never done it before. You know, they've never been in the head coach's chair. So obviously there's going to be an adjustment there, but in terms of everything else that goes with the job, John Shire has won a championship as a player and a coach under Coach K in 2010 and 2015. He is responsible for recruiting all of Duke's biggest stars the last, you know, five or so years. He was the lead recruiter on Jason Tatum. He's the lead recruiter on Zion Williamson. He's the lead recruiter on most of their high-profile recruits they have coming in this season. He is someone who last year with Coach K was in the COVID-19 protocols. He stepped in. He filled in as head coach for a game and led Duke to a win over Boston College. So he's responsible for most of the opposing scouts. I mean, the guy does everything from a basketball perspective that you could want him to do. It is really just a question of two things to me. One, he's never done it before, so how does that change things? And two, really, what sort of changes does he want to make? Obviously, Coach K comes from his West Point background. He comes from the Bob Knight coaching tree. That sort of heavy, heavy commitment to discipline, I think, is something that's been a constant for Coach K throughout his time at Duke. I'll be interested to see if John Shire is a little bit different in that respect. He's obviously a much younger guy, so he's going to have to adapt to the things that are coming down the pipe in college athletics, but no, certainly when you look at his resume, when you're talking about providing stability for the program, he knows everything Coach K likes. He knows how things run internally. And really, I think there are so many strengths, and those are the reasons why he's promoted to head coach next year.
One of the things about coaching is that if you're at a place long enough and you have so much success, you do become a team that draws a lot of angst around people around the country because they're not rooting for you, right? They're
right
against your level of success. But Coach, I mean, I would say that most recruits going to Duke kind of know what they're getting into when they go on the road and how they're perceived nationally. How did he navigate that, though, with players when he knows, like, look, playing for us is not the same as playing at Michigan. You are not liked in Seattle. You're not liked in Presque Isle, Maine. There is a national anger that comes with this program. How did he handle that for players when they arrived on campus?
Yeah, I think he channeled it. You know, he really used that as fuel. It was this idea of, listen, if people already have this perception about you, embrace it. Lean into it. Just take care of what you need to take care of, and they're going to feel however they're going to feel. You know, and people look at the NBA pipeline that he's established there in the past, you know, decade or so, really ever since Kyrie Irving sort of jump-started the one-and-done movement at Duke. And there's a reason why, because kids know what they're coming there to get. It's not a pro experience. It is a college, you know, it's a college basketball program still, but the facilities they have, the branding they have, the education they have, the different people they have in the strength department. I mean, it is, you know, reasonably as close as you're going to get to a pro experience at the college level. And so kids who are going there are choosing that specifically. They're choosing that with the knowledge of what they're going into. And they're choosing the fact that, listen, everybody hates us. We might as well win a bunch of games. And if they're going to hate us for no reason, they should hate us for being really, really good.
And one of the things that you notice is how much appreciation all of them seem to have for this guy. And there's very, if any, players on that have been, you know, became famous at Duke that have a negative word to say. He's a father figure, best coach, best decision I've ever made. It seems to be that there's this long-lasting legacy of players that have played for Duke, and even if we didn't like them as players as a nation, we sort of respect them as adults because of what he got them through.
Absolutely. And, you know, I heard something really good yesterday from Jay Billis that I thought was just really sort of illuminated that point. And he said, to each of us, all of us who have come through the Duke basketball program as high schoolers, meeting Coach K is the most significant basketball relationship of our lifetimes because that's what got everything started for us. If we went on to play basketball professionally, it was because of what he taught us. If we didn't go on to play basketball professionally, if we've gotten to coaching, it was because of the connections he had and the people he allowed us to meet. And if we did something completely aside from basketball, still the principles of leadership, of execution, of discipline, those are things that these guys have carried with them for the rest of their lives. And it's the same sort of thing that you heard from you know, Dean Smith's former players about him, the same thing you heard from Roy Williams' former players. I mean, these are guys who are making everything happen for the kids who come through their program. And you know, there is a reason why Coach K has been able to stay there for so long. And there's a reason why he's been able to connect just as well with kids in 1980 as he does with kids today. It's because he genuinely cares. And people have this caricature idea of him. You know, they'll call him whatever names they want to call him. They'll think whatever they think because of him complaining to refs or whatever. But this is a guy who puts his kid first. All of the kids are the most important thing to him. When I first got on the Duke beat, he told me verbatim. He said, the most important thing to me is my kids. Yeah. So take care of my kids. He said, I take care of my kids. So I think that's just sort of the thing that's guided everything he does. It's the reason why these guys do everything they can for him. And it's just the sort of relationship and culture that he's cultivated there the last four decades.
It's interesting because 42 years is an extremely long time, 47 as a head coach in general. It's a very, very long time. And it's a very long time to survive the slings and arrows that come your way and for somebody to maintain a level of success. I'm sure he crossed the line long time ago of, I can stay here for life and not worry about my job. But is college basketball, the way you see it, does it lend itself for the next guy that could stay at a program 30 years?
I don't think so. I don't think we're ever going to see anything like what Coach K has accomplished again. I just don't think that the way that the sport is trending, you know, you think about some of the things that are coming into effect with the freedom of player movement, with the transfer portal, you know, guys are going to be able to move and go where they want. It's going to create fewer of those four-year players. And with fewer of those four-year players, it creates less stability in general. I'm talking about name, image, and likeness coming in. It's a situation where these guys can be compensated. You don't know how different schools are going to handle it. You don't know how the NCAA is going to handle it. But it's just really difficult. And you look across the landscape, and there are guys who are going to be at their schools for, you know, another decade plus. You know, you think about someone like a Tony Bennett is a great example of Virginia. You know, he's already been there for a decade, and he's going to be there for at least another decade if he wants. I think a situation like that is probably the closest we're going to come because it's a different age and a different era of college basketball. So, no, you know, you look at some of the records and some of the stats and some of the areas that he's been able to compile in his 40-plus years. The longevity is just, it's incredible. It's untouchable. And, you know, those records are going to stand for a long time and for a reason because what he's done there, I mean, there's a reason that people call him the greatest of all time in terms of men's college basketball coaches. It's because he's been able to do what he's done at such a high level for such a long time.
One quick question to get you out of here. It has to do with not only your time covering at Duke, but maybe what you have heard from people who covered the program for all of those past years. How close was he at any time to consider going to the NBA?
It's a really good question, a really, really interesting question. And actually, my colleague Seth Davis did a story on this last year about the time that Coach K probably came closest to leaving, and that was when he was offered the Lakers job.
Yeah.
He went on to develop a relationship with Kobe Bryant. The two of them were very close from their time with Team USA Basketball. And I think the challenge of it was something that intrigued him. I think you look at where he was at that point in his career, early 2000s, had already won a number of championships, had already, you know, built a Hall of Fame legacy, had already accomplished everything there was to do at the college level. Like, there was nothing left for Mike Krzyzewski to prove. Everything he's done the last 15 years has been gravy. But ultimately, I think, despite the challenge that the Lakers offered, despite the money that the Lakers offered, he basically came back and said, listen, Duke not only took a chance on me by first hiring me from Army, but in my early years when they had every right to fire me, they didn't. They stuck by me.
Right.
And I so appreciate that loyalty. And he is an incredibly loyal dude. So I think that was probably the closest he ever came to leaving. But at that point, he had already been there so long, over 20 years, had built his life here, had his kids here, had his family here. You know, he had already ingrained himself so much in the culture of the university and Durham in general that I think it just ended up being too much for him to walk away from.
Brendan, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thank you again for your insight onto the Duke program and Mike Krzyzewski. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
You got a Brendan Marks of The Athletic. Covers both Duke and North Carolina in that area on the, retirement next year after this upcoming season of Mike Krzyzewski. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.